Good morning. I work for TF Fund Australia, and it's a huge honour to have an opportunity this morning. Your Sunday morning, you've come to church, and here I am, and I'm really grateful for the chance to talk a bit about what TF Fund does. But hopefully, as I talk about TF Fund and some of the stories of our partners abroad, hopefully I can also inspire you around the Jesus story. The Jesus story that you've probably come to know and open your hearts to and follow. The Jesus story that approximates us, positions us, invites us to journey alongside others. Others who are less fortunate, that are vulnerable, that are marginalized. Over and over again in the life of Jesus, we see Jesus having meals, conversing, and crossing cultural boundary lines to connect and identify with those that were broken and hurting. And so this morning I'd like to do all of that in James told me I've got about 2 hours, and is that what you're used to? I'd also like to thank Pat for really coordinating this opportunity for TF Fund and myself to be here today. So thank you, Pat, long-time supporter of TF Fund Australia. And also, I discovered, Pat and James and others, that Barrel Church of Christ has, in one way or another, been a supporter of TF Fund since 1999. There is a useful gift shop that that TF Fund, every Christmas, that's one of our big campaigns or initiatives, and you may have, in the past, purchased a chicken or a well, or there's lots of different useful gifts that you can purchase at Christmas time. But our records show that from 1999, that was kind of like the earliest donation or support that came from Bower or Church of Christ, whether that was an individual or the church. And so on behalf of TF Fund, I want to thank you for many, many years of supporting the work of our partners in many of the most complex or difficult parts of the world where poverty is extreme and complex. Thank you for your support, for your prayers, for opening your heart to those people. TF Fund is a Christian agency working for a just and compassionate world. We work in partnership to end poverty. Following Jesus, we go where the need is greatest. We courageously tackle injustice, seeking fullness of life for all. Currently, TF Fund is supporting 75 projects through 41 Christian partners in 19 countries across Africa, Asia, and the Pacific. Today, my brief was, can you talk a little bit about a biblical model of partnership and empowerment? I think that was what it was. There's an enthusiasm to hear about that or learn about that. And so I want to share a little bit about the way that TF Fund works and introduce you to a partner in a few moments' time called Angelina. But I'm going to start somewhere that may seem a little unrelated to partnership models, so to speak. And I want to start by drawing our attention to storytelling. And I want to kind of ground today's message and the moments that we have with some consideration about the power of our stories and what we have the opportunity to exchange with one another when we give and receive our personal stories. And as I said, my hope today is to water the seeds of justice in our lives by inviting you to consider how Christian faith intersects with the world that we live in, especially the broken and the messy parts, and that the person of Jesus is an invitation to a subversive counter-story that empowers the vulnerable to imagine and enact an alternative world, the kingdom of God. And so the title of this message for the next 2 hours is The Bigger Story. Can I say a quick prayer about our time in the Word today, and then I'll dive into this. Lord, I thank you so much for the few moments that I have this morning to encourage this beautiful church. I thank you for their commitment to follow after Jesus, their commitment to apprenticeship with you, learning about your rhythms, learning about your agenda, learning about what breaks your heart. So again, we open our hearts to you and to your word which is revelation of the person of Jesus and that extravagant love that you have for everyone and everything. May we be inspired and encouraged May we sense you with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So my thesis this morning is this, that all of human life is shaped by some story. That's my thesis that I want to suggest to you this morning, that all of human life is shaped by story. One story or another is influencing and impacting us. Everyone is shaping and forming who we are and what we do. I want to example this by telling you about an experience I had at a bus stop recently. I was standing there, and all of a sudden, a young man suddenly appeared, a young man I did not know. He appeared and said this: "The Mariana Trench is the deepest part of the ocean, measuring a staggering 10,898 meters, more than 2,000 meters the height of Everest." I was taken back. I didn't know this young man, and then all of a sudden, this interesting thing comes out of his mouth, and one can understand the meaning of that sentence, but why on earth was he saying that in the first place? This particular action or exchange that I had at the bus stop that day with this young man who blurted out these details about the Mariana Trench can only be understood when it's placed in a broader framework of meaning or a story that renders the saying comprehensible. So let me give you three scenarios for what might have been taking place that day. Three stories that can make this incident that I had at the bus stop meaningful. It's a bit of a choose your own adventure. And so the first one is this. The young man came up and he mistook me for somebody that he saw yesterday at the library who asked, "Do you by chance know how deep the deepest part of the ocean is?" That's scenario one. Scenario two is this. He's just come from a session with his psychotherapist who's helping him deal with his painful shyness. The psychotherapist urges him to talk to strangers. The young man asks, "What shall I say?" The psychotherapist says, "Oh, anything at all." Or the third scenario, the young man is a spy who's arranged to meet his contact at the bus stop. The code that will reveal his identity is the statement about the numerical figure of the Mariana Trench. Take your pick. Number three. I'm trying to exemplify that the meaning at the bus stop, that encounter, depends on which story shapes it. In fact, each story gives that scenario, that encounter, a completely different meaning. Interestingly, the Apostle Paul echoed this kind of sentiment in Romans 12, verse 2. Paul writes, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world," or we might say story of this world, "but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," the story in your mind. "Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." We must therefore ask, what story is shaping my life? What story am I using to shape the lives of those around me, those like me, and those that are not like me? What is the story that is shaping our lives and those around us? There is this beautiful idea. Reverend Renee August does some work with Tearfund globally. She's in South Africa. Her title is, she's a global peace-building specialist. Pretty cool title. And she has this to say about stories. Stories have the power to influence our identity, dictate our morality, and create social limitations. To achieve true healing, we must disrupt the small, conflicting narratives that perpetuate injustice. To create a bigger story, we must expand our collective narrative through hospitality and shared spaces so that everyone, regardless of historical divide or conflict, feels a genuine sense of belonging. How do you feel about that? The power of the gospel is that Jesus embodies and reveals a bigger story, right? A story that is invitational, that is extended to you and I, that transforms our smaller stories of security, protection, division, power, The story of our life can be restored and re-inspired with peace, love, unity with God, each other, and the world that we live in. Importantly, it is a story that is cosmic, universal. It is all-inclusive and interdependent with all of humanity and creation. Love thy neighbor and care for creation. That goes beyond this room, goes beyond the neighborhood, Barrel, Barama, the Southern Highlands. That is a bold invitation to learn, pray, live, give, and advocate for everyone, everywhere. I want to ask you this morning, church, what could that kind of story look like? What does that kind of story feel like? When we embody that kind of story, what experience do we have in our day-to-day? How do we live out that kind of story in our lives, in our families, in our community? In Luke's Gospel, there is a passage of Scripture that I want to draw our attention to. It is a pretty famous passage of Scripture. Jesus has been doing some ministry, and this is a moment where Jesus is returning to Nazareth. Where he grew up, born in Bethlehem, but grew up in Nazareth. And Jesus is coming back. And it's like the return to his hometown. And just imagine being one of those people that knew about Jesus or maybe grew up with him. And then Jesus has gone out and his reputation has begun to grow. People have begun to hear some stories about some of his teachings and the miracles that he's performing, the things that he is getting up to. And so I can imagine there's a bit of expectation in the air. That these people would have been like holding their breath for this man that was returning home. What would he say? What would he do? Will he be the Messiah that we've been expecting? We heard a little bit about in communion this morning, the prophecies that had been lingering. Is this the one that is going to fulfill all of these prophecies? Is this the King, our Savior? Will he challenge Rome? Will he tighten the Torah observance? Will he reclaim the temple or perform a miracle? I can imagine all of these questions were looming, were lingering in the people. And Jesus comes back and he goes to the synagogue and he stands and asks for a particular scroll to be handed to him. And it's handed to him and he unrolls it. And then Jesus, of all the things that he could say or bring attention to, of all the emphasis that Jesus could kind of put emphasis on or spotlight in this moment. It's somewhat of his inauguration speech. Of all the things that Jesus could encourage the audience to consider, these are the words that Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. He sent me to recover the sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That kind of blows my mind a bit. It reorders my universe. Of all the things that Jesus, that I would want Jesus to say, or of all the encouragement that I personally would want to receive, the comfort that I would want Jesus to kind of give me in that moment, Jesus really reorders everything. There is, in this revelation of his priority, of his mission, why his ministry existed. In a few short sentences, Jesus reveals what the kingdom of God looks like. And at its heart is the restoration of relationships fractured by sin, injustice, and poverty. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. I quickly just want to draw out three things that I think become a foundation for us when we are following after Jesus, particularly the work that Tear Fund does, becomes a foundation for us organizationally, the way that we work with the people around the world. Remembering that this is biblically informed, that this is Jesus inspired, the work that we do and the way that we work, the individuals that we are privileged to walk alongside in some of the most difficult parts of this earth that we live in, I think this passage of Scripture gives us great insight. The three things I want to draw our attention to is this, that in this passage of Scripture, Jesus reminds us of our inherent value. Jesus reconciles broken relationships, and Jesus renews a prophetic vision for all creation. Number one, Jesus reminds us of our inherent value. His good news is directed to those that society overlooks, the poor, the prisoner, the blind, the oppressed. Before he changes anyone's circumstances, he restores their dignity. How beautiful. Before Jesus gets on with the ministry and all the things he has to do, he's really interested in calling out people's inherent dignity, communicating their inherent value and worth to God. He restores their dignity. He reminds people that they are seen, loved, and created in the image of God. The world tells small stories about who matters and who doesn't. Jesus tells a much larger story that every person has God-given worth. The second thing that we see in this passage of Scripture in Luke 4 is that Jesus reconciles broken relationships. There's a beautiful book by Bryant Myers called Walking with the Poor. It's a real foundational book for us as an organization. It describes poverty not simply as a lack of material resources, but as broken relationships with God, with self, with others, and with creation. The poverty shows itself. That poverty is symptomatic of broken relationships, where relationships have broken down with individuals and their community, with individuals and their government, with individuals and the land, with individuals and themselves. That is where poverty is exacerbated or grows in those places where there is broken relationship. And Jesus is calling out in this passage of Scripture that his priority is to reconcile those relationships, to create environments, to encourage healing and mending, truth-telling, to invite or foster environments where people would share their stories and understand where one another comes from, would take time to listen, would open their hearts to understand somebody who looks different or sounds different or has a different background, that there would be this knitting together of our hearts and our spirits, that Jesus is really interested in those relationships being reconciled. Poverty is sustained wherever those relationships are distorted by exclusion, oppression, fear, or injustice. Jesus' mission is therefore profoundly relational. He comes to free, heal, restore, and reconcile. The kingdom he announces is one where people are brought back in a right relationship with God and with one another. Thirdly, Jesus renews a prophetic vision for all creation. By proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, Jesus echoes the Jubilee hope of Isaiah, a vision of a world reordered according to God's justice and abundance. He invites people to imagine more than personal salvation. He invites them into God's renewal of communities, systems, and ultimately the whole creation. This is not simply a vision of escape from the world, but of how God's restoring work breaking into the world can be here and now. This passage confronts me personally. I grew up in an evangelical and Pentecostal environment. So much of my upbringing was beautiful and encouraging and really positive, but I think there was an overemphasis at times on really large crowds or packed services, on conferences, impressive buildings, strong branding, charismatic leadership. Those things can have their place, but Jesus' priorities seem to come from a completely, entirely different universe. His attention is fixed on those whose value has been denied, whose relationships have been fractured, and whose hope for the future has been diminished. So different to how I grew up, and working with Tear Fund has been a beautiful reframing of my Christian faith as I've become more proximate to those that are on the margins, those that are vulnerable, as I have been privileged to hear their stories. It has reshaped, reframed my idea of what Christian faith can and should look like, how it can and should be expressed. I have been invited into a much bigger story in and through the lives of these beautiful individuals and our partners around the world. In this moment, in Luke 4, Jesus declares himself to be the fulfillment of Isaiah's promise. He embodies justice. He reminds us of our worth, reconciles what has been broken, and renews a vision of God's flourishing for all creation. When he enters our lives, he invites us by the Spirit to participate in that same work. Justice is not an optional add-on, not something that we departmentalize, or that individual takes care of the justice issues and I'm going to be more focused on these things. It's something that becomes really central to our faith. It's not an add-on, it is core to the gospel story. It is a part of God's restoration of all things, therefore part of our story too. I want to introduce you to a woman named Angelina, who is an example of what happens when the story changes. What happens in one life, but then the ripple effect that can take place within a family, a community, and around the world as people believe they are valuable, connected, and a part of a bigger story.
What if I told you that today 750 million people will wake up without enough food to eat? It's a number so big, it's hard to grasp, hard to carry, hard to feel. So let's make it smaller. Let's make it personal. One mother, one community, one moment. Meet Angelina, a mother of three, a farmer in rural Uganda. She faced impossible choices: feed her children or keep her farm alive, invest in seeds or invest in schooling, quench her thirst or protect her health. She worked hard, but things were stacked against her. This is how poverty takes hold. But things changed for Angelina. With the right seeds, the right training, and the right support, well, then her harvest grew. She joined a savings group. She brought more land, fed her children, sent them to school, and began saving for their future. And the most powerful part? It didn't end with her. Today, Angelina is leading her community, teaching others, sharing what she learned, multiplying the impact. This is how communities thrive. Even as disasters escalate and inequality rises, and the systems seem stacked against those most struggling, change is possible. Hope is at hand. The cycle of poverty can be broken. It was for Angelina, and it can be for millions like her. This is how. Someone like you gave, prayed, took action, and others did too. And those acts of faith and generosity multiplied, moments creating momentum and building movements. At Tearfund, we believe poverty can end, because we've seen it happen with God, with one another, and with the power of local Christian partners on the ground, it's possible. This is how. This is how hope endures. This is how inequality unravels. This is how communities flourish. This is how the cycle of poverty is broken. From the heart of Australia to the hardest places on the earth, you can join a movement of everyday Christians following Jesus, living justly, loving boldly. Change begins here, now, with you, with us. This moment matters. What change will you make?
Angelina lives in Uganda, and we heard a little bit of her story. There's so much more that could be said, but beautiful images and a beautiful testimony of a woman who was given opportunity to join a savings group and given support or encouragement, spoken life into, was believed in, and then was able to begin to use the resource that she was saving with this savings group, which is a women's group in that community, was able to start to buy resources and able to purchase livestock that would then change her family, and as we saw images and visuals there, is changing their community. There's so much joy and happiness and shared life that they're experiencing, and a beautiful story of what can happen when people are given dignity, when people are given agency to make decisions for themselves, when people are empowered to use their natural resources And that's key to TFUN's work. At TFUN, we seek to outwork the vision and mission of the Kingdom of God by partnership with local churches and community leaders who are already serving their communities. A big, model or outworking of the way that we do things is it's not TFUN or sending people to these remote parts of the world to be the heroes of the story. It's TFUN connecting and building relationship with local leaders, local churches that are already there, to understand their context better than we ever could. And we often just say, man, we're just so privileged that they would even share their life, their story, would open their home to us. And a big part of our role is just building capacity, is resourcing where there might be need, and walking alongside them, being a voice of encouragement, support, being an organization that prays for them, being an organization that might be able to add some insight from time to time when it comes to development work, but largely the heroes of the story are local people like Angelina, local churches, other community leaders that have a dream for their community to see them come out of or experience something different than complex poverty or some of the challenges that they're facing. The other thing with TFUN's partnership and the way that we work is it's community-led. The community identifies the needs that they have. It's not TFUN Australia telling them that you should do education here or you need this development strategy because that's going to change everything. It's local leaders identifying that in their community, it's access to clean water. That's what we need. Or it's latrines. Our young people need to go to school. Or it's agriculture. Stable access to food. It could be different depending on the community it is around the world, but we're really big believers of community leaders identifying the needs that they see at the root issue of their community and then responding long term and building some really beautiful and sustainable development systems. And so TFUN are privileged to walk with people like Angelina for many, many years. Lots of our partnerships with agencies around the world, churches around the world, span decades. TFUN has been operating for over 50 years, and so we really believe in long-term partnerships that grow and change and deepen over time. And so Angelina is one of many stories that I could have told this morning, but we believe that real empowerment begins by affirming people's God-given value, grows through restoring relationships that poverty has damaged, and leads to communities having agency and self-determination to participate in God's renewal of their families, their livelihoods, and creation itself. And so this morning, as I close, I want to pray and I want to thank you, Barrel, Church of Christ, for giving me this time this morning to come and say thank you, talk a little bit more about what we do, and also offer an invitation for you to possibly give this morning if you feel the need to or have the capacity to. There's a QR code on the screen that you can pull your phone out and click on, or you could go to tfun.org.au after the service and have a look at the ways that you can give. There are other ways that we always encourage churches and Christians around Australia to consider supporting us. Financially, that goes a long way, but we talk about the five different ways that we can grow, or five different actions that we can all take at any given moment, and that's to pray. Pray for Angelina, pray for our partners around the world, pray for the circumstances that they're facing. It is true that in parts of the world, Africa, Asia, the Middle East, the issues that they're facing are growing exponentially in terms of food scarcity, climate disruption, access to clean water. It's looking really bleak. And so, it's wonderful that the Australian church sees themselves as a part of the solution. So praying for our partners is one way that you can. Learning is something else that we tell people. Opening your heart, just learning about somebody's story is a beautiful act of faith, beautiful act of expanding your story and including somebody else, a beautiful act of connecting, giving financially, giving time, giving energy, lifestyle changes. Sometimes some of these issues of justice require us to reflect and think about our life and the way that we order ourselves. And so thinking about lifestyle decisions that you make, that I make, that might lead or impact or release justice in our world. And the other way is to advocate, raising your voice for those who can't raise theirs. And so Maybe there's one of those things, all of those things this morning that you could consider, but I'd love to pray as we close about this bigger story. And I hope that this morning you'd be encouraged that your life is interconnected with the people in this room, but also the people beyond this room. That is the Jesus story. That as we journey with God, journey with Jesus, we would find ourselves in spaces and places where the Spirit is moving, and we are in a position to respond with love.